remember where you were on 9/11? Do you remember what you were doing on the day of the attacks on the World Trade Centers? I bet you all of us remember where we were at, don't we? I was with the Owls that day. Do you remember how you felt when you saw an unprovoked attack that killed thousands of innocent people? Do you remember where you were and how you felt? And do you remember how it felt to know that life as we knew it was changed forever? That was a very sobering day. Anyone who lived through that day will never forget those things. But did you hear the announcement today? If not, I'll repeat it for you. The United States has suffered a sneak attack, and the entire population of the following American cities have been destroyed: New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, St. Louis, and Atlanta. Now, there hasn't been another terrorist attack, but over 30 million people, more than the entire population of all of those cities I just mentioned, have been destroyed by abortion worldwide. More have died from abortion than from all of the wars that have ever been ever. You know, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and it's a day when we pause to remember those millions of what would have been beautiful little children who never lived to see the light of day. Death is something that we've grown accustomed to. You know, at the time when the abortion issue was being debated, there were people who said that it was the beginning of a slippery slope. As many said, it was a very small step from abortion to infanticide. I don't know how to pronounce it quite right, but I think that's it, infanticide. From infanticide to euthanasia, and from euthanasia to suicide. And those who argued about the slippery slope, and when I was young, I remember these arguments, they were made fun of, and they were ridiculed. But now, all of these years later, we see that we have been steadily sliding down that slope. Big issues in the courts today are euthanasia and assisted suicide. And each and every day, it is more difficult to hold the line against those who would try to convince us that euthanasia is mercy killing. There are those today who are trying to convince us that suicide, just like abortion, is none of anyone else's business. This morning on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we need to think about the significance and the consequences of the direction and the course we are following as a country. You know, there is a great clash in this country between the concept of the sanctity of life and the concept of the quality of life. And we hear these discussions all the time, but I don't think we understand the full implications of what they mean. You see, the whole concept of sanctity of life is a spiritual issue. Sanctity of human life is a religious issue. The word sanctity means holy or sacred to God. Sanctity means something that God has created of great value. It's a spiritual concept. But for the humanist or the atheist or the unbeliever of any kind, there is no such thing as sanctity of life. For unbelievers, you see, you know, human beings, they're nothing more than animals. No different from any other animal, and we've heard that discussion as well. Unless there is a God who created us in His image, unless there is a God who has given us His Spirit that sanctifies us, There can't be any sanctity of human life understanding. It was written that Paul Gauguin, who is the famous artist, he wrote on his last painting before he attempted suicide, "Where do we come from? What are we? Where do we go? The answers are nowhere, nothing, and nowhere. Life is a matter of protoplasm." Bummer. Carl Sagan said that there is not now, and that there has never been anything else in this universe but matter. So if someone has that kind of totally unspiritual, non-spiritual view, and they have only a physical understanding of living, for them, you see, human beings are just breathing and eating machines. Now let me say something totally radical. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life. So you see, it's only from a purely atheistic or humanistic or secular view that anyone can decide that a life is to be valued depending just on how that life looks. You see, quality of life is a biological judgment call. There is no person who can look at another person and determine the quality or the value of their soul. If life is only molecules in motion, then we can only have a quality of life ethic. We can only have a quality of life outlook. But if we are Christians, and if we believe that there is an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God who is spirit, who has given us everlasting spirits, and if we have an unalienable right to life, we have to reject the secular quality of life understanding. Now, many years ago, Newsweek had an article about when human life begins. This is an article they would never write now. Too hot of a topic. The article said that everyone has always known that scientifically speaking, life begins when chromosomes come together. Don't you? The scientists are always talking about they want to create life, and how they do that is they make chromosomes come together. Okay, that's how they want to do it. They talk about it all the time. The Newsweek article went on to say that historically, the understanding has always been, until recently, that human life begins at conception. But Newsweek went on to ask, however, when should this life take precedence over the health or the happiness of the mother? Do you see the case that Newsweek tried to make? They are saying that one human being may kill another human being, because they had just made the case that they were a human being because life begins in the womb. They were saying that one human being can kill another human being if they do it for their own happiness. Newsweek made the argument that the mother's happiness takes precedence over the baby's life. There are doctors who practice legal infanticide of imperfect babies. They do that all the time by withholding treatment. And they justify that by saying that they recommend that course of action to preserve the happiness of the parents. No wonder a big problem in our society today is the abuse and the killing of children by their own parents. Because we have made this statement as a culture that our little ones are expendable. And they're disposable if it isn't convenient for us, their parents. You know, it was for the well-being of society that mass euthanasia was practiced in Germany. We have come a long way down that slippery slope. Now we kill for happiness. Dr. Malcolm Watts gave a speech to the California Medical Association, I think it's been like 20 years ago, and he said, "Sanctity of human life has been a foundation for all Western civilization." Sanctity of human life is what Jesus Christ brought into the world. It was held and maintained by the early church, enough so that it overthrew the pagan ideas of life at the time. The sanctity of every human life is not an odd view that we can ignore, Dr. Watts says. It was the foundation of this country because we are endowed with certain unalienable rights that are among these are first of all life, that among these are first of all life. Watts said that the traditional Western ethic has always placed great emphasis on the worth and equal value of every human life, regardless of its stage or condition. And he said that this old ethic has not completely been eliminated in our culture. And that's why it's been necessary to separate the idea of abortion from the idea of killing. And the result has been this curious avoidance of the scientific fact that all of life, human life included, begins at conception and continues, whether that life is in or out of the uterus, until death. Now, one of our nation's leading pro-life advocates, a medical doctor, he was talking to another doctor. This was written in a pro-life magazine. He ran an abortion center, and he said to the guy, "Don't you realize that these are human lives that you're killing?" And the other doctor was totally insulted, and he said, "Of course I recognize that they are human lives. What do you think I am, an idiot?" "But there's a lot of money in it," he said. The former president of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology said, "The idea of abortion is not only deeply disturbing to our traditional concept of the inherent value of all human life," you can tell he's real smart by the way he talked, "but it is potentially shattering to the foundations of Western civilization." That's a pretty big deal. It is potentially shattering to the foundations of Western civilization. You see, in abortion, we are dealing with the destruction of Western society. I don't know if you've thought about that or not. Because the foundational Christian ethic that rid the Western world of paganism, that rid the Western world of sacrificing our children to pagan gods, and the foundational Christian ethic that even now prevents us from sending our young people out as suicide bombers, is our understanding of the sanctity of life, all human life. And it's just another tiny step from infanticide to euthanasia. So we go from the happiness of the mother to the happiness of the parents, but it's a little small step to the happiness of society. Governor of a large state once said, "It is the duty of old people to move over." Well, that's fine if you're not old. A professor is quoted as saying in a large prestigious university, "It is our duty to help the aged shove off." Shove off. I would say mother, but then I'll pay for it later. We have seen legislation in recent years that tries to set limits on life, just by what that life looks like, you know. And the enlightened these days are talking about helping the old people to graduate or helping them to be freed so that they can join the cosmic consciousness, if you have any clue what that means. Do you remember how Nazism began? Hitler exterminated over 273,000 people before he ever got to the Holocaust. Do you remember who they were? The first to be killed were the elderly, who were considered an economic burden. They used up vital resources, Hitler said. They detracted from the happiness of society as a whole. Then they killed the seriously ill, including diabetics and epileptics. Anyone who needed ongoing medication were killed. Then they killed the mentally challenged and the physically handicapped. And then they eliminated defective children. And this included, and I'm telling the truth here, children with deformed ears and bedwetters. Then they eliminated the World War I veterans who were still in hospitals or who were still being treated for whatever reason. To those who support abortion, I think we better warn them. We should probably tell them, you better kill them all. Because the babies who survive you may surprise you, Grandpa. With increasingly more and more old people in our society, and people with increasingly less children, after all, 30 million of them have been murdered, the financial burden is going to be enormous. We're seeing that now. And if I were a prophet, I could pretty much tell you that if we continue in the way we are going, the little group of remaining children, when they grow up, are not going to tolerate the financial burden that's coming on them. You know, when Social Security began, it was 32 or 33 adult workers that supported every one person on Social Security. Then it went down to 20. Then it was 10. Then it was 5. Then it was 3. Then it was 2. Soon, half of everything people earn is gonna go to support us old geezers. And you know what they're going to shout? We ought to do something about the elderly. There ought to be a law. And then there will be a law. We are way down that slippery slope. You know, it is time that America repented of our sin. We need to acknowledge what we have done. We need to repent, and we need to ask God's forgiveness for this nation. And even if we have never had anything to do with this, we need to plead as intercessors for America. We need to stand for life. We need to stand for all human life. And if the statistics prove out, there are some of us here today who have had abortions. Remember, though, that there may be no mercy with man, but there is mercy with God, and it is plenteous. And He will pardon those who confess and acknowledge their guilt, who confess their sins, those who turn to Christ for forgiveness, and He will heal a broken heart, and He will wash a guilty conscience. You see, Jesus died for the old, and for the young, for the born, and for the unborn. Because life to Him has a great sanctity and holiness to it. Because He made it. And the one that made it died for it. So we need to pray for our courts. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for the American people. That God would open our eyes to what we are doing to ourselves. We need to pray for the Supreme Court, that God would open their eyes as they continue to hear cases for state laws that have to do with abortion and assisted suicide and euthanasia. These are painful decisions. But the consequences of deciding against God's word and His law, you know, they are staggering. Now, you will only know that life is holy when you come to know the Holy One who died for you. And there is forgiveness, and there is mercy. Have you received it, the forgiveness and the mercy? If you never have before, it's time to come to the cross. So you can understand the infinite value of your soul, God does not make junk. The infinite and eternal Almighty God, He died for each one of us so that we might have life. Do you remember what our scripture reading for this morning tells us? For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, our enemy, the devil, is delighted with our infatuation with death as a solution to the problems of life. He just loves it. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to turn from death and repent and to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We turn to you, Jesus. We want life, not death. I turn to you, Jesus. I want life, not death. We want to know the goodness and life eternal in Christ. So, Father God, we pray that you would open the eyes of America, that you'd bring repentance to the people, that you would open the understanding of our judges and our government so that they will not decide in favor of death, but in favor of life. Cause our government to protect every American, both the preborn and the born. Father God, give us wisdom and strength and resolve. For Christ's sake, amen.